City. Perfection. Etavati. This much. Bhagavati. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sarva Atmani. In the all pervading. Vasudeva. Krishna. Anuparata. Continuous. Bhakti Yoga of the mystic process of devotional service. Labena, simply by achieving this platform. Eva, certainly. Upekshita, neglected. Anya, other. Artha Atma Gatayaka. All other means of perfection. Namely religion, economic development, sense gratification and liberation. Muktim, a liberation from material bondage. Eva, like. Agatam, obtained. Mumukshavaha, persons desiring liberation. Eva, like. Sabahumanam, with great honor. Udya api, even now. Jata jutahai, with matted locks of hair. Udvahanti, they carry. Okay, translation. The seven great sages, Marichi, Vashishta, Atri, and so on, reside on the planets beneath Dhruvaloka. Well aware of the influence of the water of the Ganges, to this day, they keep Ganges water on the tufts of hair on their heads. They have concluded that this is the ultimate wealth, the perfection of all austerities, and the best means of prosecuting transcendental life. Having obtained uninterrupted devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they neglect all other beneficial processes like religion, economic development, sense gratification, and even merging into the Supreme. Just as jnanis think that merging into the existence of the Lord is the highest truth, these seven exalted personalities accept devotional service as the perfection of life. So, purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Transcendentalists are divided into two primary groups, the Nirvishesha Vadis, or impersonalists, and the Bhaktas, or devotees. The impersonalists do not accept spiritual varieties of life. They want to merge into the existence of the Supreme Lord in His Brahman feature, the Brahmajyoti. The devotees, however, desire to take part in the transcendental activities of the Supreme Lord. In the upper planetary system, the topmost planet is Dhruvaloka. And beneath Dhruvaloka are the sevenmost planets occupied by the great sages, beginning with Marichi, Vashishta, and Atri. All these sages regard devotional service as the highest perfection of life. Therefore, they all carry the holy water of the Ganges on their head. This verse proves that for one who has achieved the platform of pure devotional service, nothing else is important, even so-called liberation, kaivalya. Srila Siddhartha Swami states that only by achieving pure devotional service of the Lord can one give up all other engagements as insignificant. Prabhatnanda Saraswati confirms this statement as follows. Kaivalyam narakayate tridashapura kashapushpayate durta tendriya kalasarpa patali prokhata tamstrayate vishwampurna sukayate vidhimahendradishcha kitayate yat karunya kataksha vaibhava vatam tam goram me vastumaha. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has perfectly enunciated and broadcast the process of bhakti yoga. Consequently, for one who has taken shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the highest perfection of the Mayavadis, Kaivalya, or becoming one with the Supreme, is considered hellish, to say nothing of the karmis' aspirations to be promoted to the heavenly planets. Devotees consider such goals to be worthless phantasmagoria. There are also yogis who try to control their senses, but they can never succeed without coming to the stage of devotional service. The senses are compared to poisonous snakes. But the senses of a bhakta engaged in the service of the Lord are like snakes with their poisonous fangs removed. The yogi tries to suppress his senses, but even great mystics like Vishwamitra fail in the attempt. Vishwamitra was conquered by his senses when he was captivated by Menaka during his meditation. She later gave birth to Shakuntala. The wisest persons in the world, therefore, are the bhakti yogis, as Lord Krishna confirms in the Bhagavad Gita in the 6th chapter, text 47. Yoginam api sarvesham madgatena taratmana shudavan bhajate omam same yuktatamo mataha. Of all yogis, he who always abides in me with great faith, worshipping me in transcendental loving service, is most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. So, Omagana Timiranda Shah, Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur, Unmiritam Yena Tasmai, Shri Gurave Namaha. So, here's mentioned the Purushartas. That means the goals for the Purushas. That means people. Sometimes Purusha means male, but in this particular context, it means, you know, people in general. So, Purushartha. So there's four normal purusharthas. That's dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. So dharma means to perform religious principles, but for the purpose of one's own self-aggrandizement. In other words, just like you have this Satyanarayan Katha. You've heard of this before? Satyanarayan Katha? No one's heard of it? So the Satyanarayan Katha is very popular in the West, and in India too. You go around to people's houses and you tell stories from the Puranas about how people worshipped Narayan, and they got whatever they wanted. You know, someone became very rich, and people are very much attracted to that. Even sometimes in our temples, we don't do Satyanarayan Katha, I hope. But sometimes in our temples, we tell people that if you donate for building a temple or something like that, then you'll become fortunate and you'll go to heaven and so many things. I remember there's brochures that devotees give out that have so many quotations from the Puranas saying the material benefits you get from donating to build a temple. You ever seen that? They do that. You know, you build a temple and all your forefathers were benefited and this and this and that. So, of course, in other words, we sometimes even use the same thing to trick people. Or sometimes we show people the picture of and the story of Sudama Brahmana. You know the story of Sudama Brahmana? That Sudama Brahmana, he worshipped Krishna. What did he get when he worshipped Krishna? He just came. Actually, he didn't even want to worship Krishna. He wanted to see his friend Krishna. He just wanted to see his friend. But his wife wanted money. So that's the difference between husband and wife. The wife sometimes wants money. So his wife said, you better go to see Krishna. He's the husband of the goddess of fortune. And we're just poor here. So he just went and he had a little bit of broken rice. And Krishna took the broken rice. And then guess what happened? What happened? He came back. And he had a mansion with a swimming pool, a tennis court, several Mercedes in the driveway, right? Isn't that how the story goes? We're putting it in modern terms. And so the people think, wow, Sudama Brahman. Another story we sometimes tell is the story of the fruit seller. Yeah, that the lady fruit seller, she came to Krishna, and Krishna said, Jai Shri Shri Radha Radha Kanta. And so Krishna said, I want some fruits. And all he had was some grains in his hands, and the grains actually slipped out. You know, he couldn't even hold them in his hands, all the grains, and there was a few little particles. And she became so enamored with Krishna's beauty that she gave Krishna all of her fruits. And then she looked back at her basket, and what was in the basket? Jewels and gold. So you tell people these stories and become, wow, ecstatic, I should worship Krishna. And generally, people are worshiping the demigods for basically the same purpose, isn't it? Kamaishtastha ritagyana prapachante yadevata. This is what Bhagavad Gita says. Those whose intelligence has been stolen by kama, lust, they worship the demigods. Okay, so they worship the demigods, or they worship Krishna. And generally, those who worship Krishna are called sa-kama devotees, right? That means devotees with some desire to fulfill. And those who are pure devotees, they're nishkam devotees. And the demigods are generally sa-kama devotees. There's some nishkam devotees. Lord Brahma is a nishkam devotee. Lord Shiva is a nishkam devotee. Vayu is a nishkam devotee. There's several. And Yamaraj, he's a nishkam devotee. He's a Mahajana. But most of them are sakam, like Indra. For example, Indra, he worships Krishna, of course, but then every time he sees a beautiful girl, he goes, not every time, but many times, he goes after the beautiful girl, like he did after Ahalya. You know the story of Ahalya? Ahalya was the wife of Gautama Rishi. And she's very beautiful. And so what happened is that Indra saw her and he thought, wow, I have to have her. So he waited till Gautama Rishi went to the river. And so he took the shape or the form of Gautama Rishi and came home and says, hi, wife. And she knew it wasn't. She actually knew it wasn't her husband. I mean, obviously, because he acted differently. I mean, usually Gautama Rishi was never lusty. So here was someone dressed up as and looking like Gautama Rishi, who was lusty. And then he had a relationship with her. And then the real Gautama Rishi came back as Indra was walking out the door. And so Gautama Rishi cursed Indra to lose his masculinity. And also he cursed his wife to become like formless or a stone. And later on she was saved by Lord Ramchandra. You know that story. So those are the demigods. So generally, people are doing this dharma for material purposes. Of course, Krishna, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it says, dharma protita kaitavo tra paramo niramatsaranam satam. I think most of you know that verse. That this is called cheating dharma. And the Bhagavatam throws out this type of dharma. But anyway, it's the material world. And even people join Krishna consciousness for four basic reasons, right? Chatur vidha bhajanti mam. Because they're looking for wealth. They're inquisitive. Looking for wealth is a big thing. I mean, sometimes you find people, even in Mayapur, come because they're looking for wealth. And they think we'll join, we'll become in charge of the land department. Isn't it? Sometimes it happens like that. Can I charge the land department, make millions of dollars? And so it happens. I mean, you all know that. I mean, it happens. And then sometimes you cheat your own brother because you're so much enamored with wealth. So people, they're looking for wealth, they're inquisitive, they're in distress, or they're looking for knowledge. These are four different reasons that people join the Krishna consciousness movement. So basically, people do have other motives. If they didn't have other motives, they'd be pure devotees. I've never preached to someone outside of the movement who is a pure devotee. So when you preach to someone, you have to understand their motive. Like Prabhupada even said, join our movement one time. One time he said, join our movement, we'll give you a beautiful wife. You know, he was dangling, you know, the carrot in front of the donkey. You know the story, dangling the carrot in front of the donkey. So there's different motives that people join. I mean, you have to be practical, honest. You can't just like go to the university and say, all of you should give up your material desires. You should just love Krishna. No, you give them prasadam here. You can eat some nice food. You don't have to work so hard. You know, so many things we can tell them. So dharma. And then when you do your dharma nicely, you get artha or economic development. money. Money is sweeter than honey, as they say. Money, money, money. Actually, it's described when one's attached to money, it's like the same sort of, like gold, okay. Gold is like the same color as the stool that someone has when they have jaundice. That's what Bhagavatam says. I'm not making that up. I mean, it's actually a source of misery. Because the more you have, the more anxiety you're in about it, protecting it, the more property you have, the more jewelry you have. I mean, you're just anxiety. Like Sanatana Goswami, he had those 8 gold coins and almost got him killed. You know, the story when he was escaping. And then he just told his servant, Ishan, you give them up. You give them back to the hotel man. So they can cause problems. So another thing, like Sanatana Goswami later on got this shawl from his brother Srikant. Beautiful chadar. And Lord Chaitanya was looking at the chadar. And Lord Chaitanya kept looking. And Sanatana Goswami understood that Lord Chaitanya thought it wasn't appropriate for a sannyasi and won the renounce order to have such a beautiful dress. And he gave it up and he traded it for a quilt that was made or that was had a Muslim mendicant head. You know that story? It's an interesting story. That he traded this beautiful quilt. He went to the ocean and saw a Muslim mendicant with this old, you know, holy thing. Not holy, spiritual, but full of holes. And he traded it, and Lord Chaitanya was very pleased. Lord Chaitanya said, as far as the sannyasi is concerned, you should not think of women even in dreams, you should not wear fine clothes, and you should not eat opulent food. 3 things, instructions he gave. That was to Raghunath Das Goswami. Now that one has taken up the renounced order of life, one should not think of women even in dreams, wear opulent clothes, or eat opulent food. Prabhupada said the Mahaprasadam is for the grahasthas, not for the sannyasis. Although, you know, we can taste it to see what the deities are eating. So, anyway, so artha, economic development, money is sweeter than honey. And then when you get money, what are you going to do with it? You're going to enjoy. You go to New Orleans, the French Quarter, not you, but you know, the American people, they go to New Orleans, and what do? They break the regulated principles. They're crazy. It's like I was speaking to Drew Miller yesterday. He said it's like a zoo there. A zoo with human animals. I mean, a zoo is all right. Like, do they have a zoo here? Yeah. Nice zoo? So a zoo has like all these animals, and they're engaged in eating, sleeping, mating, defending. But usually the animals are not drinking liquor, are they? Or the animals, they're not paying money to have sex, are they? Never see a bull go up to the she cow, you know, the cow, and give her some hay or something like that. Here's a present, you know, here's a sweet ball or something like that. No. It's just like, it's actually natural. Whereas the human beings, when they have money, they act unnaturally. They get intoxicated. Oh, we're just speaking about the French Quarter. You missed it.
Oh, boy.
No, we were just quoting you.
Oh, yeah.
We were saying that you said it's like a zoo.
I said it was like a zoo?
Yeah, a circus. Circus or a zoo. And so they, you know, it's just like a bunch of animals acting worse than animals in the French Quarter because they're paying for what they're doing and they're getting intoxicated. And, I mean, people... Usually the animals don't eat so much that they vomit. I remember when I went to the university, 1966, I think, before we were all born, went to the university, we were living in the dormitory, and on the weekends, all the children would get drunk. And then I'd walk out my door and everybody would be lying in the halls there, vomiting. I'd never seen anything like that in my life because I was brought up in a rather conservative home. I mean, I'd never seen people drunk before. I never saw people do any of these things. And I just like, it was like a scene out of some horror movie. So the French Quarter is like that, you know, the prostitutes hanging out, the wall. And And they go after the poor Hare Krishnas. It's just amazing. The poor Hare Krishnas are just trying to serve Krishna or even maintain their families or whatever. And these people are doing so many abominable things, getting drunk. People are dying because they're driving when they're drunk. The venereal disease, AIDS, isn't it? It's dangerous. Every time you take a sip of liquor, it kills so many brain cells, isn't it? It's like a dangerous drug. Yet people are taking dangerous drugs, giving each other diseases, you know, illicit sex. It's really interesting, isn't it? Giving each other diseases, cheating each other, breaking the law, and some poor Hare Krishna comes around and they take him to jail. This is modern society, isn't it?
Irony.
Yeah, it's an irony. I mean, these people are engaged in the most demoniac activities. And, you know, some poor devotee, you know, gets arrested. It's like, you know, America is backwards. Like, they'll, like if you hurt your dog, you get arrested. But if you eat a cow, they'll come over and join you. It's all backwards. Backwards society, isn't it? It's French Quarter. Anyway, I remember one time we went on Harinam in the French Quarter many years ago. And I was just like, I couldn't believe what I saw. It was at night. I was never there at night previously. And I went there at night. Just, oh my God. So that's what happens when you have the art, the money. Then you spend it on sinful things. Just like I remember the many years ago when the people from Europe first went to America. And they introduced the American Indians to liquor. And they started drinking. They called it fire water. And they would get them drunk so they could buy land from them or cheat them in different ways. Like Manhattan was bought for $24 worth of... Can you imagine Manhattan? I mean, you can't even afford an apartment now in Manhattan. They're millions of dollars. And for $24, they buy the whole island. Because they would get them drunk. And that's, you know, when you get someone drunk, they agree to any damn thing. So, dharma, artha, kama, and then when you wake up with a hangover the next morning, you know what a hangover is? No one knows what a hangover is. It's good you don't know what it is. Hangover means when you've drunk the previous night, you wake up and you feel sick, disgusted, then you just think, I want to get out of here, I want liberation, you know, I want to get out of this world, it's so miserable. But the problem with this want to get out of this material world so miserable is that you forget about it the next day. That's similar to the Mayavad conception, Aruya Kachena Param Padam, as described in the Bhagavatam. That they some musical accompaniment. So they want to get they merge or they go up into the Brahmajyoti. They go up into the Brahmajyoti and then they come back because they want to come back, you know, do something. So it's the same thing as someone getting drunk. You understand that Mayavadis are the same thing as drunken people who have a hangover. Think about the comparison. Because they're so miserable in this world, the Jnanis, they're so miserable, they want to go back. They want to go to Brahman, but then Aruya Kachena Param Padam. They come down again. So in the same way, a drunk person, he thinks, I just want to give up this drinking, but the next night he's drinking again. Because he has no higher taste or desire. So the Vaishnavas, as Srila Prabhupada says, quoting from Prabhupada Saraswati, who was the uncle of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, and Venkata Bhatta's brother, he says the Vaishnavas consider this type of liberation that the Mayavadis have to be simply like hell, because there's no devotional service in this hell. There's different types of liberation. There's Sarupya, Samipya, Sarashti. There's liberation of having the same form of the Lord. There's liberation of having the Salokya, having the same planet of the Lord, the same Sarashti, the same opulences of the Lord. Samipya, associating with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the type of liberation that involves losing your, not losing your identity permanently, but merging into the Brahman, that is not accepted by Vaishnavas because there's nothing to do. There's no service. Whereas a Vaishnava, Mama Janmani Janmani Shure Bhavatad Bhakti Ahoitaki Dwaya, he's willing to take birth after birth in this material world to serve Krishna. So that's Vaishnava. Because it's enjoyable. It's love. There's another phone. Is that yours? Or it's either your stomach or your phone. One of the two things. This is amazing. This is amazing. Who else has a phone here? No, that's all right. So a Vaishnava is enjoying so much in serving Krishna that he doesn't want to stop for any reason. He even considers sleep to be like hell. You understand? Like most of us, we like to sleep. It's like something we enjoy. It's like eating, sleeping, mating, defending, right? So sleep, Prabhupada said, is ignorance. So we enjoy very much and gutting in the nights, just like they may put a nice bed in my room. It's like 10 feet tall. It's like that story when I was young, the princess and the pea. You know that story, Drew?
No.
The princess and the pea?
No.
Well,
they
put a pea underneath, and the princess kept piling up mattresses higher and higher and higher. And she still was bruised because she was so delicate. So we just, and there's so many, like they told me that mattress in my room was like a $500 mattress or something.
$600
mattress. So, you know, I was thinking, $600 mattress, but it's so high if you fall off of it in the middle of the night, you have to go to the hospital. So the Vaishnava considers this sleeping business to be a waste of time too, because you can't serve Krishna. He loves serving Krishna 24 hours a day. He's just anxious. He doesn't waste any time. That's the point. And one of the symptoms of a Vaishnava is he doesn't waste any time in Krishna's service. So anyway, so these are some of the points here. There, just one story. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu converted Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya from the impersonal understanding. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was a very determined Mayavadi. Very, very determined Mayavadi. Lord Chaitanya had to take like 7 days listening to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and another day preaching to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya about the Vedanta. And then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya became such a great devotee that he couldn't even bear to hear the word mukti after that. There was this one verse in the Bhagavatam, Tatena kampam sushamikshmana punjanivatma kritam vipakam. Rit bhag bhapurvir vidadam, jivadam, do you say? Jivan mukt, what is the rest of it? Rit bhag bhapurvir vidadam namaste, yeah. Jivan mukti pade sadaya bhak. Famous verse spoken by Lord Brahma. That one who tolerates the verse, the translation of the verse is one who tolerates all the resultant reactions that come from his past activities and goes on serving the Lord with his body, mind, and words, becomes a rightful inheritor of pure devotional service. Anyone's heard of that verse before? Tatenu kampam sumikshimana. Prabhupada quoted it. Bunjanivatma kritam vipakam ridbhava purbir vidadam namaste jiveta yo mukti pade sadayabhak. So that, in the last line of that verse, da shishi radhavada kanta. The last line of that verse, you have the two words mukti pade, right? So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he became such a great devotee that he changed the verse to Bhakti Pade. And then he went to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and says, I've changed the verse. He said, Bhakti Pade. And Lord Chaitanya said, no, you can't start changing the Srimad Bhagavatam verses. But then he said, I just hate to hear the word mukti. I just hate to hear that word. And Lord Chaitanya was pleased with that. But he said also, mukti pade can also refer to Krishna, like the feet of Krishna, like Mukunda. Mukunda means He who gives, he who has a beautiful face like the Kunda flower, I know that, but also he who gives liberation. You know, there's two meanings of the word. So Mukunda, Bhukti Pade, can mean the feet, the lotus feet of Mukunda. Or Krishna, who gives liberation through his lotus feet. So Lord Chaitanya said, please don't go changing the verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam. But he appreciated very much that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya developed a distaste even for the word mukti or liberation. Interesting, isn't it? So, as devotees, of course, we're not distasteful for mukti right now. We generally want to get out of the hellish place, right? Like Prabhupada encouraged us. He said, you should want to get out of here. But ultimately, mama janmani shre bhavatad bhakti hoitaki tvaye. So any questions or comments about these things? Questions, comments, arguments? Keep class short. Yeah.
I hear many devotees asking, do you want to be liberated? Do you want to go? Do you want to come back? And what is the answer?
Do you want to come back? You have to be honest. Don't make up.
Or you want to be liberated?
Whatever you want.
Is this your last life?
What you want? What you actually want? You should be honest with them. You should say the goal of devotional service is to want to serve Krishna life after life, but I want to be liberated. Don't be dishonest. You understand? Many devotees are dishonest. They say, you know, I just want to serve Krishna life after life, but they don't really mean it. So just speak from your heart, not from your brain. If you speak from your brain, you'll say, yes, I just love Krishna. I want to serve Krishna life after life. Oh, the lotus feet of Krishna are everything to me. No, you're a liar. The lotus feet of Maya are everything to you. And you want to eventually come to the point of loving Krishna. But right now, you want to try a few things out. You know, you should be honest about where you're at. I find there's a lot of dishonesty the devotees have, isn't it?
Dogmatized. This is what you have to say.
But, you know, you should say, this is the goal. Yeah, the goal is to love Krishna purely, to want to serve Krishna life after life, as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says. However, right now...
My desire needs to be purified,
and right now I got a lot of desires. You know, every time I go into Best Buy, I look at all the electronic gadgets. I want to get my PhD.
Yes.
I want, you know, eventually you want to find another wife, you know. You know, so at least be honest with people. I think people appreciate that more than just like some show bottle. Isn't it? I mean, we shouldn't be show bottles. You know, we should say, or at least I want to get out of the world. It's not a nice place. I want to get out of this world. But if you're actually pure, then you can tell them that. I just want to serve the lotus feet of my spiritual master. But if you tell them that, I just want to serve the lotus feet of your spiritual master, and your spiritual master says, do this, and you say, can I get a second opinion, Gurudev? Again, a second. It's just like you go to a doctor, he gives you a diagnosis. You ever see that? The doctor says, I think you should stop eating fried foods. And then you think, I need to see another doctor. So you go to see the doctor that agrees with what you want, right? Or you go to see the sadhu. We see it's called sadhu shopping. You go to see the sadhu, you know, no, my guru, it just doesn't fit me, you know. He's just telling me things I don't want to hear. So better I go, this nice guru, I love Amma. You know Amma?
Yes.
You ever heard of Amma?
Yeah, I've seen
that. The hugging guru. He said, oh, I like her because she doesn't tell me what to do. She just hugs me. That's the best guru.
And the best hug.
It's the best hug, the best guru. You don't have to do anything. You just get hugged. You understand? Of course, we don't do that. But sometimes we go shopping like that. So we say, Guru Dev, so-and-so Maharaj actually said this. He disagreed with you. And then you say, but whose disciple are you? And then the disciple says, actually, I need to take Shiksha from this other person. Do I have your permission to accept him as a Shiksha guru? Sometimes that means I don't want to accept you as a Shiksha guru anymore. I want to accept him because he has what he says really is good for me. I like. So we find that shopping sometimes, isn't it? You're shopping. Like, you're going to the guru mall at Christmas. Guru on the wall. Anyway, so. So?
Oh, sorry. Srila Prabhupada.
I've got some humor.
He made the point in his book somewhere that you should try to go back to Godhead in this lifetime.
Yes.
Because Kali Yuga,
yes,
get worse and worse and worse. We get harder and harder and harder, more difficult.
Yeah.
And also, there was a famous class in Los Angeles where Prabhupada said that most of my disciples, they want to go to the heavenly planet.
That's right. Yeah, we should want to get, Kali Yuga is getting worse. I was just speaking to some social workers in Gulfport about 2 days ago, and I was asking, they're dealing with cases of child abuse generally, and I said, what have you experienced over the last 20 years? And they said, it's much, much worse. There's many more children who are physically abused, sexually abused, abandoned. I mean, it's just, they can't find enough homes for all the children. I mean, the parents come and they just drop the kids off in their office. And the poor social workers, they have to figure out how to change diapers and do everything like that. And they find these kids with all these injuries. There's the shaking syndrome. You've heard of that before? Where the parents get angry at the kid and start shaking the kid like that. And what it does is, like, turns his brain to jello. You know, basically, you understand, because the brain is very fragile at that point. You know, you can shake an adult. But even when adults play this game called hockey, you ever heard of hockey before? They actually become, it affects their brain. Even they've discovered that when people play, the kids at the schools, they play soccer and football, that invariably it affects the brains, and they have so many problems later on in life.
And boxers.
Yeah. Boxer. What does it mean? Devotees met Cassius Clay. He can't even remember. Muhammad Ali, and they can't even remember his name. They met him in the airport a few years ago. So there's many more cases. It's just increasing over the last 10, 20 years, the social workers told me. It's just incredible, the increase, horrible increase. And they're having to deal with, like, monsters every day who do these things to their kids, much more than they ever did before. So it's definitely getting worse. Getting worse. America's getting worse, dramatically. And India's following America because they're watching. They have the satellite TVs practically in each little tin shed you find, isn't it? The satellite, Sky TV it's called or something like that. And, they're watching American shows or, what does it mean of Bollywood? Bollywood's just as bad as American movies, isn't it? It's very bad. I mean, I've seen some Bollywood movies.
Oh, nice production.
Yeah, I mean, Bollywood movies, Hollywood movies. I mean, it's just like destroying the morality. The technology, like the internet, the movies, the other technology, is quickly destroying people's, ethical, moral principles. It's doing it exponentially, much faster than when you didn't have technology. When I was young, all you had was these telephones that you would wind up. Did you ever see those before? There was no electricity, so you had to create your own electricity on the telephone. Mm-hmm. You go like, and then you pick it up. And then operator would answer, operator, what number you want? And she'd have to plug something in a board. You ever seen that? And then to call from one side of the country to the other would take hours, because you'd have to get like 10 different operators to connect things in their board. Or to call from India, you had to spend money for a lightning call. Remember that?
Lightning, yes.
Lightning call.
They book a call.
Book a call. You had to book a call and lightning call. And how much money did it cost?
Oh, quite a lot.
Like?
Back in those, well, the rupees was much more valuable.
Yeah.
At that time, it was 500 rupees a minute. Something like that.
Which means like, what, $25 a minute or something like that? Or yeah, a rupee was eight cents. 1 rupee was worth 8 cents years ago. So that, anyway, you get an idea. So it was a lot more expensive. You know, yeah, it was $40 a minute or something for a lightning call.
At that time, it was 10 rupees a dollar.
10 for a dollar. I remember when it was 8 for a dollar.
Yeah.
Rupees were actually much more expensive at that point. So when the technology is increasing, but they're just using it for sinful things. I mean, what do you think? The internet is mostly used for pornography. Or that movies are mostly used for illicit life, you know, destroying people's morality. So the things are going, yes, you should want to get out of the material world. But Prabhupada did say most of his devotees, they want to go to the heavenly planets. Right? They want to have some apsaras and some Bharatanatyam dancers. It's like sometimes. Anyway, I won't talk about it. So
some devotees are genuinely surrendered to their beds, to the point where they're surrendered, and they can honestly say that whatever Krishna wants, I'll stay here or I'll go back. It doesn't matter. Because at that point, like we say, you don't have to wait to go back to Godhead. They might already be back.
They're already back.
They don't care if they stay here or go there. They just want to serve Krishna.
Yeah, they're already back.
One other thing, like. In preaching, you know, in being out and mingling with the conditioned souls, you know, I used to joke that it's not the Leave It to Beaver days anymore.
They wouldn't know what that is.
In India, you may not know there was a show in the 1950s called Leave It to Beaver.
Or Father Knows Best.
Father Knows Best. So there were a few shows that they showed the American family as very wholesome. Everything was very, very wholesome, you know, and there was no, you know, there was no reference to sex life or anything like that. So I joke with people about the Leave It to Beaver days anymore, but sometimes someone will give the argument